The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Instead of purple haze, I have red rage. I'm turning it over to Doug.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Poke the Hornet's Nest. Let's do the first thing we're supposed to do with Dad. It's KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM. Hey, thank you all for listening to start this day. A couple of weeks ago, we had a family come in here. It talked about 9/11 and how unhinged, crappy, evil the building department was. Well, we're going to top that today. In our last show, I talked about our local family that I have firsthand experience of. And just as a recap, so if you didn't hear the show 2 weeks ago, then this is the first time you're hearing it. But in a long story short, a little over a year ago, little girl comes to mom and dad, says, "Hey, I want to be a boy." Mom and dad are not necessarily the most happy to hear this line of reasoning. So they're not overwhelmingly supportive. So the little girl does what she does. She goes to the school counselor, and being the evil liberal that this person is, they go behind mom and dad's back. They go to CPS. CPS goes to the courts, and they take this little cute girl from the family. It's been over a year, and they're going to do it, and you're asking yourself why. It's because of the gender reassignment movement, cult, delusion, evilness that has inflicted the liberal party. And someone once said, you know, this, I was telling the story, and they're like, "This is not a political thing." And I said, "It's absolutely political. It is only on one side of the aisle that believes this is normal to destroy, chemically castrate, and remove healthy body parts." So yes, this is a political statement, and our show, as you know, has our opinions. But I did want to read something before I get to the punchline of this whole show today. So give me a second, fire my phone up. This is now from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. So the federal government has released a peer-reviewed study showing that what most sensible people have always known: it is not safe to put children on hormones or give them surgery to try to change their sex. The government calls this sex-rejecting procedures. The Biden administration called it gender-affirming. One of them is based on reality. The other is not, and I will let you go on to tell me which one it is. However, the UK, following up in the same article, this is very much in line with the UK's, Britain, who's beyond lost to the liberal whack job, report in 2024, which reached a similar conclusion after a years-long independent investigation. The evidence supporting pediatric gender transition treatment is unreliable, the harms are unstudied, and the mental health evaluation must become for the medicalization. Taken together, the report and the HHS studies is the strongest international repudiation yet of rushing children into life-changing, gender-altering I don't know if I want to call it reality. So today we have the unfortunate pleasure. I've got mom and dad on the phone today from out of the area. They'll be referred to not by their real names, and they're going to tell their story of how heartbreaking, if you can imagine, if you have a kid that from one day to the next, somebody knocks on your door and they take your little kid away. Ellie, are you on the phone with us today?
Good morning, Reading residents. Good morning, Shasta County, and everybody tuning in to listen to our sad story. This is Ellie and Eddie.
Good morning, Shasta County, and everybody who knows us in that county.
Good morning, guys. Hey, first off, I'm sorry that we have to have this conversation, but you guys have been fighting the machine, the liberal gender machine, and I promise you that you get this hour to basically, we might throw in some questions at you, but, you know, you tell us a little bit about your girl, and then tell us kind of what happened, and how did we get to where we're at, and what's going on. So I will shut up and tell us kind of, you know, a little bit about your girl, and then tell us how this all started.
Thank you so much. We are legal immigrants from the country called Ukraine, coming to the United States with two bags, just a couple of $100, 2007 on East Coast State, hoping for a brighter future and wanted American dream to provide to them. To cut long story short, our daughter was bullied in an East Coast school that brought her to, it was at a sensitive age, she ended up with severe mental health issues, low self-esteem, her dependency issue, and high impressionability. This is something that the predators and a lot of financially interesting people are hunting for. We changed school districts, locations. We ended up even in Ukraine for some while during COVID, but then we gave America a chance. At some point, we had like an island of little breath and little pause, and our daughter was actually thriving there. She's a very bright, talented, creative, artistic girl, vivacious, never was a tomboy, never had issues with her sex, but her mental disorders brought her to Mercy Family Health Center, where she met Dr. Michelle Sager, who self-referred to Children's Legacy Center, which has cream of society on its board, including Stephanie Bridget, DA, including the then Sheriff Mike Johnson, Kim Johnson, Judy Flores, now replaced by Mike Freeman, Aaron Resner, and who not. And Dr. Sager was, it appears she was grooming our daughter. We trusted this devil in white gown. I trusted my own anxiety, because what we went through previously could not but leave a mental stamp, and we trusted this devil. And instead of addressing our daughter's BPD, which is borderline personality disorder, ADHD, ODD, major depressive disorder, anxiety, she basically was calling her a male name since February 2024. And filed to CPS against us.
During that window, Ellie, did they tell you, did they call you and tell you they were going to do this, or is this all happening behind your back?
I'm sorry, I missed. You're
my question was, is when they were doing this, they went to file for CPS. Did they tell you they were doing this, or was this happening without your knowledge?
It was without my knowledge. It was, moreover, Dr. Sager promised twice. She took upon finding a good family therapist, because this is a teenager. This is the age when volcanic hormones erupt, and they just hunt for these girls, these young girls. And I signaled to Dr. Sager, Dr. Sager, something is wrong with this transgender talks. Can you please stop talking? Because my daughter would come to me and say, hey, talk to her. She has been able to convince many families. And I signal, like, Dr. Sager, please, please help. And she said, yes, I would. And a week later, she picked up the phone. And that I found out after my daughter at a July visitation in 1313 Yuba Street. She told me that, yes, it was Sager's office who picked up the phone and called CPS at end of May.
And that was 2024, so that's a little over a year ago, about 14, 15 months ago.
Yes, we have been going through Inferno, CPS with Shannon Anderson, Mandy Moore, Jennifer Zapegi, Rick Panza, Jennifer Coggle, Renee Horn, Alicia Endicott. These people have been destroying, humiliating, and stripping off our medical, educational, parental rights. They said that we are culturally unfit to raise our daughter in the present-day American West values. So basically, they're wiping off our Ukrainian identity. They already wiped off her identity. She ended up at a Columbia School Board District family, Walter Albert, and his wife, Maggie Kenefic, who are greedy and financially interested people, hacking their home with six children with severe mental traumas. And he actually has a financial interest. He had a loan for $150K. We have a report on this home. How do we know it? Because our daughter goes to Phoenix Charter, and Walter Albert is cronies with Phoenix Charter Administration. So that's mafia on multi-level, and Molly Bigelow actually rubber stamps and rules that all, guys.
So let me recap so everybody stays with us here. So your daughter has some mental issues that may be from bullying or whatever, but here she is. You guys come back to California. She's with this doctor. The doctor starts programming her, as you say, grooming her, that she is a little boy, and then goes to CPS behind your back. The CPS then goes to, because I had actually part of the story wrong. I had said it was the school was my understanding, but now I understand it was a doctor. And then the doctor went to CPS, CPS went to Molly Bigelow, and then what happened when they took your daughter from you? How did that go, and have you had any contact with her since? I don't even know how to ask the right questions because this is so unbelievable in Shasta County, conservative Shasta County, that we have this kind of evil.
Let me ask a question.
Ask Nick.
What was the complaint they took to CPS?
Yes, I will answer it, but I would like to correct Doug. I believe it was your question. It was the school, Phoenix Charter, because my daughter goes to the same class with Walter Albert and Maggie Kenefic's son, and they placed her in the same bedroom with their biological male son. Can you believe it? My daughter shared has been still sharing the same bedroom with a biological 17-year-old on their bunk bed.
Well, let me ask
you
a question. How old is your daughter today? How old is her?
17, and then Crystal Nelson, the detainment officer, came to our porch beginning of June with no court paperwork, no ID. She hid her car on a distance in our driveway. She basically looked like a solicitor, sounded like a solicitor, and she immediately started accusing us of emotional abuse based on gender identity, non-acceptance of our mentally unstable daughter. That's what the complaint, the emotional abuse.
Well, and you know, we are programmed in our society that we're not supposed to have pubescent children, boys sleeping with girls, because pubescent children do pubescent things. And so your little girl, 17-year-old girl now, is sharing a bedroom, and not only a bedroom, but a bunk bed with a 17-year-old boy. Folks, let that sink in. I mean, that is acceptable, but you and I, as a normal person, if we were to do that, CPS could say that we were contributing to the delinquency of a minor, and here CPS is actually making that happen.
Moreover, Molly Bigelow, Mike Horan, Annika Stokes, Charles Pollan, Ryan Hurley, all those people in courtroom, they have been blatantly, openly, socially transitioning in even as we speak, because we still have proceedings. They're openly calling her male name. And that is all orchestrated and dictated by Molly Bigelow. Entire CPS, everybody, are humiliating us at all visitations, at all CFTs. They're openly, loudly saying her male name openly and using he, him pronouns. That's been lasting for 19 months right now. And there's been a lot of proceedings. We were able to open up our mouths a little bit 6 months later. So we basically kept muzzled, discriminated, slandered. All those visitation reports, they are twisted. They are filled with blackmailing. We have been thrown to khaki index by Nelson with letting us know. It's a children's abuse registry index, which is like a public record. Now, I cannot work with children. I'm a certified art therapist and a teacher of English. My husband won't be able to pass security clearance if he, God forbid, loses his job. Nobody is caring about it. Nobody is willing to take us out. And now they filed detention report because we allegedly, Annika Stokes said that we abandoned our daughter because emancipation, domestic violence restraining orders were filed before Molly Bigelow actually issued her written order at the very end of August. So it's so much corruption, criminality. The entire police works with them, lying on camera in their sheriff report, and that everything has been entered on record. Molly doesn't care. She rubber stamps everything that Mandy Moore, the Peggy, Shannon Anderson show to her, and she just rubber stamps. This went so far, you don't even imagine. There is a suspicion that our daughter has been either pregnant and due in December, or she's already had an abortion. She left virgin.
Wow. Now, I had made a comment, and when you and I had our discussion after I brought it public, I had made the comment that they were already doing the gender castration and chemical castration, which folks, let me just back this up so you guys have an idea of where I come from. In college, believe it or not, I went to San Francisco State. For a conservative guy, how I didn't get killed back in the 80s is amazing. But my minor in college, because I needed units and I was playing baseball, was human sexual studies. And I was one internship from actually having that as a genuine minor, and there was only three colleges in the world that even offered it. So I come at this with some really decent, I took like 9 classes in college 30 years ago, and we talked about this 30 years ago. And this mutilation is not only physical. I mean, they will cut healthy parts off of these young kids, but it's a chemical castration for which these kids will never recover. They turn them sterile, and let's say it turns out that it was a phase, then down the road these kids will be pharmaceutical misfits because they'll have to have the drugs for the rest of their life, and they will never be able to have kids because they have genderly or chemically destroyed them. And I had made a comment, Ellie, that they were doing that, and then you corrected me. As far as you know, they haven't started that yet. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, there's not many times in my life I'm speechless, but I don't know what else. What part of this is just to let people know what's going on in Shasta County. And Nick actually had a call from a gentleman, I don't want to mention names on the air, that he said he's aware of other families that this is happening to. I mean, what, you know, you've got our audience. I don't know if it's 1 or 1,000 or 10,000, but, you know, continue with your story. I don't mean to interrupt, but I just want people to understand this is this is what's happening.
In Shasta County.
Conservative Shasta County.
That's awesome that you are actually will be, it will be good if you actually interrupt me, because you see, this is so painful, this is so hurtful that we can go, you know, on for hours because we are not sleeping. They got us so far that we lost the taste of food. We have our 8-year-old who we actually hiding right now in a red state. So they forced us out of Shasta County. We have this wonderful house that we loved so much, and we bought it for our kids, but our daughter left barefoot. Barefoot, she followed Nelson barefoot because we have a very strong suspicion. She left her computer, her laptop unlocked, where she was in touch with this Marky Moo, a very suspicious and probably dangerous online sex predator on Discord that mentions Dr. Sager's name, by a teacher from Phoenix Charter School, and a lot of interesting information. So it just shows that our daughter had been prepared to go. She was instructed by these people how to better file an emotional abuse, and she actually told this Marky Moo that on the day you know, so-and-so may something, 2024, they made an emotional abuse. So everything was running as our daughter was leaving barefoot to follow Nelson. And we have two cameras recording the entire removal procedure, both audio and video. And Nelson explicitly told our daughter that she cannot legally drive her. She has to go to follow her car that she hid. And we could not even see the California exam plates. You know, by the end of the property, my daughter left barefoot. And I went, I gave her her flip-flops and her socks. So Nelson and the entire CPS team writes that, first of all, we called our daughter it. And we speak Russian and Ukrainian, so there is not even a trace that we could call her it. That we kicked her out to live in the shed, whereas the shed is a mother-in-law's unit with three bedrooms, two bathrooms, AC, pellet stove, Wi-Fi, television, everything.
I will tell people publicly, I'm a real estate agent, and I have seen your home. I'll leave it at that. And your ADU is anything but a shed. It's actually quite a nice facility that if you had a rambunctious teenager, it wouldn't be the same as putting them in the woodshed with no electricity and no blanket. I can tell you that.
You know, as far as we've gone right now, I'd like to say I'm ashamed that the taxpayers are paying these people's wages. They should be, in my opinion, prosecuted.
Yeah. So continue on. They said that basically she was living in the shed, and like I've said publicly, it's not a shed. So continue on, Ellie.
Oh, hello guys, it's Eddie.
Hey, Eddie.
I just want to get back to that tax aspects of all of that stuff. We did a really good like discovery with a bunch of people who really suffer from CPS across different states. And in California, one child removed from their family by CPS cost for taxpayer about $250,000 a year. And for foster care provider who really have that child in their home, that child gives about between $4,000 and $5,000 a month.
Yep.
So and that. $250,000, it includes Medicare, it includes all expenses for CPS, for judges, for attorneys, and so on and so on. And if you sum all of that up, it's about 50% comes from federal tax, and partially it comes from state taxes, and partially from county taxes. So technically, everybody is funding that system, what really works against people.
Well, and I'm not going to ask it now, so don't just save it. Save the answer until we come back from break in a couple minutes. But Ellie mentioned a number to me that I think the people will need to hear when we come back from the break. We're not there yet. We got a couple more minutes, but I didn't want to talk about that number. So, Eddie, keep staying with us here because when Ellie mentioned the financial cost to you guys, my jaw fell off the floor, fell back on because I was so overwhelmed by it. So I don't want to go there anymore. So, Ellie, to the best of your knowledge, have they actually started the chemical castration, or you had made a comment that you think that she was pregnant? So I'm not trying to pry, but I'm trying to give a picture to people how evil this is.
Yes, I have no problem answering that. She is 17. She filed an emancipation petition that was denied by Judge Bigelow. They cut off all contact with our daughter. We hugged her last October, which is 2024. She made eye contact with us on the same day on her birthday, beginning of October. By now, CPS has been concealing and hiding everything they could. Whatever I can guess is that I received some bills and from Quest, which is, you know, blood work laboratory, and it said that she took a pregnancy test to confirm pregnancy. Also, my husband's work pays for our family insurance, and we were able to get into those claims and pharmacy. So, as mentioned, clearly our daughter left virgin. But we see by those claims that she is having an active sexual life behind our backs, that she possibly has STDs, because we see by the prescriptions that are reflected in those claims, and that she was prescribed birth control. She actually ended up anemic in our birth care.
Wow.
And she forced me in Shannon Anderson's and Alicia Endicott's presence the day before her birthday at one of the actually best visitations in beginning of October before Shannon switched on heavy-duty alienation. She is very capable of that. So my daughter was forcing me to sign a testosterone consent, and I did not do it. And probably after that, they decided that they no longer needed us at visitations, and they started canceling one by one. And then Shannon Anderson wrote a very poisonous memorandum calling us toxic and detrimental, and that all visitations be canceled, like absolutely terminated.
Well, let's hang there to Ellie, because unfortunately this is radio. We do have to take a break. Stay on the line. We're going to go to a break on our side, and then we'll come back to you in a couple minutes, and we'll continue with your story.
I've got an announcement to make just before we go to our break. December 7th, you can catch Doug and I at KQMS 105.7. We're transferring over to there because it's a bigger audience, and we feel that that will enable us to get this kind of message out to the whole community.
We'll see you after the break.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Great food, affordable prices, friendly service. You'll find all that and more 7 days a week at Lulu's Eat-In and Drinking Establishment. Open 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Sundays. From homemade soup, salads, and sandwiches to great steaks, seafood, and Italian dishes, everything is made fresh daily and served with a smile, or we're happy to serve your meals to go. Simply call in your order to 243-6251. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, daily specials, and prime rib are available any time of the day. Lulu's Eat-In and Drinking Establishment, where Pine meets Cypress Avenue, home of the best Bloody Mary in town.
Thousands of veterans in Shasta County have served our country with pride, and many of them rely on social services at the VA clinic for their health and welfare needs. Transportation is key to their ability to access these services. Help salute our veterans by making a cash or check donation to provide free bus passes to local veterans in need this giving season. Look for our Rob a Bus Drive, Friday the 14th, at Plumas Bank locations on Hartnell Avenue and Hilltop Drive in Redding, in Anderson, the public parking lot at 4305 Shasta Dam Boulevard, and the Burney Library, between 7 a.m. and 3 p.m., or make a donation online at robaveterans.com.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Redding and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
And we're back. And in the break, so Nick and I were talking, and he was just mentioning how heart-wrenching to hear the story and how depressing it is. And we're only getting to hear it. And these folks have been living it. And Ellie was telling us about how they have now begun testosterone. The daughter might have been pregnant or is pregnant. She's got STD medicines. And, you know, she was a normal girl with some mental challenges, which, you know, a lot of teenagers in today's world. It's funny, we were growing up and we didn't... The parents and the grandparents had them. Yeah, Uncle Crazy Lenny. But we as kids just made our way. We did stupid stuff, and we lived through it. And in this world, these poor kids have got this going on. So Ellie, welcome back to the show. We've got another 25 or so minutes to go, and you were mentioning they had followed the toxic stuff. But I wanted to start off the second half with Eddie, if he's there, because, or you can answer it, Ellie. You said that there's been a financial cost that's from your side, and please let the people know what the county and state of California has cost. I mean, I can't even begin to put a dollar amount on your daughter, but how much has it financially cost you guys to get to this point today?
Okay, so probably I could answer that question because all of that stuff we record very carefully. First of all of our out-of-pocket expenses for lawyers, for witnesses, for experts, it's at that time it's more than $170,000 out-of-pocket. Second part to that is our insurance, my private insurance paid almost $300,000 for 45 days in BNI facility at South Cal Mental Facility for youth. And even more, Shasta County CPS supposed to reimburse all of that out-of-pocket expenses related to medical treatments while child is in your custody, and Mandy Mood explicitly refused to even consider $7,500 of co-payment what I made out of pocket for BNI. So all of that stuff goes really like crazy from our side at that point. And yes, we also set a house on market after all of that what happened in last August and September.
So, if my numbers, and I took my shoes off, and I actually predate Common Core, so I think your numbers come up somewhere close to $500,000 in about 15 months between your insurance and yourself fighting the state. Is that correct? Pretty close, because you had like 300 and 170 and some other stuff there. So does that seem about right?
Yes, moving expenses, and yes, before that removal, all of that expenses literally wouldn't exist. Now, as insurance company, as I personally paid huge amount, plus again, so we don't have even like normal life for last 19 months after that removal.
Wow. So, here we are in November of 2025, and you guys have, I've tried to tell this story, and I'll say it this way, and I don't mean to make you guys upset, but imagine, folks, if you have your kids, and if there's any liberals, I would hope something similar happens to you, and then maybe they're going to put on chemicals and make your kid become a conservative. I don't know how bad I can make it, but this is, it's almost like you have a death in the family because your daughter has been taken from you, and the mourning, you guys are mourning a living person, and I can't even fathom how that must, every day, how that happens. And so I'll shut up and continue on, Ellie. We've got about 20 minutes left, so I'll shut up, but please continue on.
I'd like to know how your 7-year-old is handling this.
Oh, good question.
He is 8 by now. He has to be homeschooled. I just want to let you know how traumatized he became even immediately. The following day when Nelson snatched our daughter, he's afraid to close his bedroom door. And he says, Mama, don't close yours, because he is afraid. He has been having nightmares, and it had also affected his health. He is basically deprived of education because Reading STEM Academy are at the top of its administration. They also poured a lot of dirt upon me because Nelson touched base with them, and they never spoke a good fight that I've been doing for both my kids all these times that, you know, all these years, and they called me volatile. Yes, actually, if you didn't know, Sara Fernandez was fired for allowing the children to watch porn, and kids brought CBD gummies. So there's a lot of corruption in that school as well. We were afraid that our son would be simply granted, you know, to Nelson, because, you know, they can come to school and just pick him up, what Nelson was doing previously with other families. So I just am homeschooling him. I don't know how long we are gonna, you know, last. I don't know even when our daughter, if ever she will return, and how many years of this detox is going to take, because this is just horrible. She probably was sexualized, medicalized. They masked Lindsay Bloom with Matt Wong from CPS Clinic Children's Mental Health, have been playing and messing with her psychotropes, just canceling that cold turkey. And Leah Tate is a very well-known psychologist who is actually gets paid by CPS to write these reports. She also spoke about us as detrimental. She never reached out to us. She never requested any prior medical history that our daughter had, but she wrote this horrible report, just like Shannon Anderson did, to cancel all the visitations, to trans and affirm our daughter, and to leave her in this glitter foster care that Albert and Kenefic have been doing. So how she actually ended up at BNI? We had our attorneys write a declaration or a brief, because we really wanted to, the first day one, we found that she was sharing this bedroom with her classmate from Phoenix Charter. We were signaling, we were trumpeting, we were just ringing all the bells to entire CFT team and everybody, just remove her from that horrible, detrimental place. And Bigelow was so unwilling to do it until the beginning of February 3rd, when she actually removed all allegations of emotional abuse, and she never returned our daughter to us. Interesting, right? So we were able to find at least one or two facilities to, we believe that would detox and heal our relationships, because basically they cut off everything. They wiped off every culture, every religious, every historical context that we brought our daughter in. And she was placed in BNI, which is $5,000 a day by our insurance. But after Jennifer Zepegi's foot stepped on BNI's territory on February 25th or 26th, these people, the administration, they talked to us. We signed agreement, and they blocked. After Zepegi came and dropped our daughter off, they blocked. Imagine, for 15 days, they did not talk either to us, or they allowed to our daughter to talk to us. But she spoke with Maggie Kenefic. And
now,
Ellie,
may I interrupt you real quick? And again, for all our listeners, again, I can't tell you if there's 1 or 10,000, but hopefully our audience today is even bigger than it normally is, because this is a heartbreaking story. And you made a comment, and I wanted to add to it. You know, we hear as bipeds, humanoids, that, you know, mama bears will do anything. To protect their babies,
yeah.
Anything. And so when they made the comment that you were volatile or whatever, I'll be damned. I would hope that my mom would go off the volatile, crazy, I'm going to protect my little family, my little kids of things. So I would like to applaud you publicly that if that's the description that they used, and I know on a court level it probably sounds like you're some crazy person, but if you're a parent, you have one job with your kids, and that is protection until they're 18, and at that point, they are on their own. And so I applaud you for being so
proactive,
pro your little girl, that if they deemed you to be volatile, that tells me you must have been doing something right, in my opinion. So I will shut up, but continue on.
I've got a question. What is BMI? You mentioned it a couple times.
B and I, and as Nancy, you guys, if you have access to a browser, Google Chrome, whatever, Google it up. B and I Treatments Center is a teen facility in Southern California, in Agoura or Calabasas. It has DEI Vogue therapist Corey Pearson, who indoctrinated and also coached and groomed our daughter against us. Arastu Aminzadeh is an Iranian origin CEO and a psychiatrist who actually immediately started working with CPS and started prescribing our daughter heaviest psychotropes that you can think of. Probably there were preparing her for the testimony so that she could become a really controllable megaphone of CPS and Horan, who actually was coaching her, and that's what happened. They prescribed her Pristiq, Abilify, Trazodone, and Ritalin at one go. Oof. Behind our backs without even JV220 approved, which we actually, they handed to us in March in our hands, like a fact that, you know, has been already happening, and the court hearing has never even happened. I just want to let you know how horribly corrupt dependency court with Bigelow and Mandy Moore and Shannon Anderson, who are in the same, you know, they're pulling the same card because they're all interconnected. Title IV, Section E, funding, and Section D, which is foster care. We seem to be discovering a lot of interties between CLC, Shasta Raising, Phoenix Charter, COE, CPS. There's a lot of there's a lot of foster care providers that like mushrooming. It has to be investigated. We are calling FBI, DOJ to actually start a good and viable investigation. I just want to knock you down a little bit. Hold on to your chairs. You know, fasten your seatbelts. I just want to read a list because it's a natural question of yours. Where did you guys, you know, ask for help? I'm not mentioning that the entire board of supervisors, they know, they're perfectly aware, and especially the supervisor who oversees CPS, they're perfectly aware of the dynamics of this case. That's number zero, okay?
Who's the supervisor? Who's the supervisor that oversaw this case?
He did not oversee this case.
CPI. Who is the actual name of the supervisor that is overseeing that entity? So not this case in particular, but the whole thing. What supervisor is it?
Everybody knows their name, so it's a public information. Let me just proceed to the official investigating agencies. Okay, and I just got, you know, really footballed back from them. So I think it's 24 steps, so get ready. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, OCR, Board of Psychology, CDEEEUCPO, I just have this abbreviation, I think I just grabbed it from my email, but that's Googleable, FERPA, Office of Education, OCR, Board of Behavioral Sciences. Our social workers, it appears, are not even licensed in Board of licensing board. How interesting. California Civil Rights Department, Advocates, DSS California, Enforcement BRN. We are investigating Sharon Babcock, general manager from Mercy, who ambushed us with the help of Jennifer Zepegi January 8th. That's a special incident. Right now, I don't believe we need to discuss it, but it's very blatant. CRD Contact Center, CDPH, NHAPENF, CNA Misconduct, National Association of Social Workers, Cal OES, Goran, Office of Emergency Services, San Francisco OCR, U.S. Department of Education, California Department of Consumer Affairs, they footballed me back to DA office in Shasta, interesting. DCH or DCA Correspondence Unit, Parents Defending Education, DOJ Civil Rights Division, California Foster Care Ombudsman, Department of Education Civil Rights.
Yeah, and all of those organizations, most answers, we either don't have any authority to investigate CPS, or even more interesting answer, hey guys, go back to your local CPS office and let them investigate themselves.
Well, you know, it's interesting. One of the first ones you mentioned, Ellie, was Health and Human Services, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, which just issued an actual memo stating publicly that this gender-affirming stuff is gender-damaging. So it's interesting that you have gone to them, and they are the feds, and they have announced publicly that this is bad medicine, bad practice. And the reality is... they're not even helping you, which is just mind-boggling.
I just want to let you know, guys, that Molly Bigelow failed to enter the first HHS gender dysphoria in pediatric practices that we tried to have her enter in on record in one of the late May's hearings. Right now we are working on the legal stuff, and it appears that Molly Bigelow did not enter the first HHS report. And now you also kindly mentioning that there has been a new one. And imagine, they're still pulling it as a trans case. Mike Horan had our daughter to testify on record when he was directing her. He actually was brushing against every prior experience, and it's a huge and ample mental health care we provided to our daughter for all these years. All he was dwelling on, and how did that make you feel, and how did that make you feel, without us even being able to respond at the end of October, beginning of November, he called us irresponsible parents. He actually is very corrupt. He yelled, "We have an unmedicated child," to Molly Bigelow, because he wanted to stop her. He just thought that it would all, you know, pass all that unnoticed, because Sager, Bigelow, Anderson, Moore, Zepegi, and Panza, and what, who not, they were dead sure that we would be simply, you know, bent across their knees, and since we don't have family, we would be just, okay, okay, yes, sir, no, we are Ukrainians, we are strong, we are proud, we are even singing songs about the shed, about the court proceedings. You're welcome to enter, you know, the search in YouTube. It's called the Shed Music TV, which features actually the green colored shed that Nelson was accusing us, you know, throwing our daughter in. Nelson never even checked the property.
Can I interrupt real quick? There's two things I'd like to interrupt you real quick. First off, we did have somebody call in and goes, could you repeat the prosecutor name or the district? So I think you're referring to Stephanie Bridget in here in Shasta County. Am I correct or am I wrong?
Yes, Stephanie Bridget is still at the board of directors of the CLC.
Okay. And then recently, you have been doing a lot of podcasting. So I want to make sure that we've got 10 minutes or 8 minutes left. I want to make sure that you get out to people. Obviously, this is an ongoing saga. My horse in this race is I want you to have your little girl back and get back to normal life. The system is a system, and it's broke, and it'll have to crash. But can you please explain to people the podcast you're doing, where else can they find you and help, or I don't even know what the word is. Please, you got 7 minutes. Where are your podcast happening? Where can we find you?
Yes, so those were with Slam the Gavel, with Marion Petrie. Also, if you tune into Drax, D-R-A-X, and Roadie American, I think we also did the recent one with Kay Daly on X. I just want to make an announcement because if especially you guys mentioned that there are, and we are aware that there are other victims, especially of Dr. Michelle Sager, Children's Legacy Center, because my daughter clearly told me that she has been able to convince many families into transgenderism. Please reach out to me, shasta4art@gmail.com. Shasta, you know what, shasta4art. A-R-E-T, I mean, I can...
Now, is that a letter or the word? Is it just number four, or is it actually written?
Let me just dictate. It's easier. shastafoart@gmail.com. Also, tune in into our The Shed-Music TV. This will help you understand how we did not go completely bonkers, and just basically telling about the case as it developed. It's a very funny and allegoric video channel. We just don't have time to, you know, enrich it, but definitely we have so much material already gathered. So I will keep you posted. Please reach out to me, especially the victims of Sager. Phoenix Charter Academy, maybe Bigelow, maybe CPS.
And I will say that I have personally reached out to Heather Hadwick and spoken to her for 15 minutes on this, and kind of brought it over. She's a mom with kids, and imagine this happened to her, and she was horrified. So I know that I have spoken personally with Heather. I have spoken with a representative of Megan Dolly's office, and I did exactly the same thing, because one of the things I have found in life is if you can turn the table so this is happening to them, the sympathy, empathy, and the, in this case, anger goes up. And so I have tried that. I did reach out to some channels that know Mr. LaMalfa's office, and paraphrasing, that would be just a dead hole to go down, and I don't know why. So if anybody knows LaMalfa and he wants to jump in on this, please, this family needs all kinds of help. Ellie, I, as we close in the last four and a half, five minutes here, I don't know what to say other than that Nick and I look at each other with absolute horror. With about a 5 minute run here, and we'll give you a 30 second tick. What would you like our folks to know as we finish out the show?
Can you please repeat? Because
I say, we've got about 4.5 minutes left. What would you like our folks to know as you finish out the show? What, I don't know if we can do anything, but what would you like them to know with 4.5 minutes to go? It's yours.
Thank you so much. Dear Shasta County residents, I know that by those who did it, I know that a lot of you blocked me, demonized me, stigmatized me, treated us as lepros from the ghetto because the magic word CPS sounded. I know a lot of families that stopped even inviting our seven-year-old to birthdays, and that was a major blow to him. I just want to let you know that CPS has been muzzling with Bigelow, shutting us up, intimidating. Victoria Lazurenko is a Ukrainian origin social worker. She was blackmailing us to speak English, whereas we speak our native tongues to our kids, so that Shannon Anderson writes good reports. Also, Nikki Quintana filed a lot of petitions that are really humiliating, and one of them calling us culturally unfit for raising our daughter. Let me just read this. The child, the name, is unable to be maintained in the home of the parents' names, as the minor's gender identity is in conflict with parents' fundamental values reflecting their cultural background, which has caused emotional abuse to the minor. Molly Bigelow accepted it. I just want to let you know, today is ours. Tomorrow is yours. We ran away because we care about our children. You need to know that this is your county. Grab your county. Do something, because this is happening. And again, supervisors and county council knows about it.
Wow.
Thank you.
You know, Dr. Mengele and the Nazis didn't have anything on these people.
No, and the thing that so frustrates me, folks, is, you know, I'm not a very big fan of the left and their ideology, their policies, their politicians, and just who they are. And this is them. Don't take this as anything but a political thing, because this is how they are trying to destroy the nuclear family. They've taken this little girl from her home. Imagine, you know, let me throw a little opinion in here. Imagine if they were trying to do this to a Hispanic couple. They said Hispanic people can't be talking Spanish in their house. Could you imagine the outcry of how that would be so Hispanophobic? But here this government entity, a fellow Ukrainian apparently, is saying they can't speak Ukrainian to their kids because it's not right. I mean, that's what America was back in the day. The Italians, the Germans, everybody spoke their language, so they had two languages, not just one. And so, Ellie, I apologize on behalf of any common sense citizen that is listening. I am so sorry that you and your family are going through this. You have 1 minute. I don't know what to say. 1 minute. Can you want to finish up for 1 minute, my friend?
Thank you. We appreciate all those, and I'm receiving messages already for those people who are active on BOS. I appreciate all those who were kind to me. There were some people, even right-wingers like Moms for Liberty. They weren't good with us, but I forgive them. But I still, a little bunch of people, they are faithful, they're good. I just want to let you know that we came to this country after 70 years of socialism and communism. we are seeing it in California, and eugenics is sterilization of mentally unstable young people. This is happening in your Shasta County at the head of Molly Bigelow and CPS on Yuba Street. Please regain your county. You're surrounded by such beauty, by Lassen, by Shasta. Really, the people should just, you know, stop treating others as garbage, as dust, and think that this is not coming to them. This will be coming, because an attorney shared to my husband that CPS has gone completely unhinged for the past 2 years, and our case, it shows it. So this is your county. This is your state. Don't be afraid. Believe that this is happening. Unite with us. Reach out to us. And together we will make America great.